Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about our purpose in life as believers in Christ. So we've been called as children of God, born again into the family of God. Well, what does that mean to us on a day-to-day basis? How does that change the way we live? And today we're going to look at, I think, a very stunning verse.
Yeah.
It's really hard to wrap our minds around it, but it's true because this is what the Word of God says about each and every one of us. So Paul is giving a warning, and he says in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 17, he says this, "Brothers, join in imitating me." Now, that sounds like an arrogant statement, doesn't it?
I'd never say it.
No, I don't think I would either, but that's what Paul wrote.
Yes.
Join in imitating me. Now, what was he saying there? He was saying that he has learned the secret to life,
yes,
the secret to happiness, the secret to contentment, and that secret is in trusting Jesus Christ. So what is he saying for us to imitate? This walk of faith in Jesus, this trust, this deep heartfelt trust in the risen Christ to live his life in and through us. So that's what Paul was encouraging people to do and imitating him. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us.
Yes.
So we want to encourage one another in that walk of faith. That's what we've been called to. That's what pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So God is looking for hearts that trust him. And if you've been born again, if you have been named a child of God, then he has equipped your heart to do that. He has circumcised your heart and has given you a brand new heart, one that is pliable in his hands, one that actually wants to trust Jesus Christ. So he says that, and then he says, "For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." There are many people out there that are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, it's not that God is their enemies. Mm-hmm. God has reconciled them unto himself and is not counting their sins against them. But they have chosen to walk a different path.
Yes.
And therefore, they have set themselves up as enemies of the cross. And there are many out there today that are very antagonistic toward believers. They are very vitriolic in their comments toward believers, and anything out of the Word of God, they call it hate language and all of these sort of things. So they have set themselves up as enemies of the cross, and here's what he says about them. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with mind set on earthly things. Now, that's how all of us were at one time. We all had set our minds on earthly things. That's where we thought life was to be found. That's where we thought that happiness was to be found. That's where we thought purpose was to be found, in earthly things. So we, too, at one time, set our mind on those earthly things. We weren't interested in God. We weren't interested in Jesus.
Yeah.
We were just interested in gratifying the desires of the flesh. But all of that changed the moment that we received Christ. And here's something else that changed: our citizenship. But our citizenship, verse 20, is in heaven. And from it, from heaven, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So that's not just a spiritual Jesus. That is the human Jesus,
yeah,
the one that was both fully human and fully God. He ascended in his resurrected body, and in that resurrected body, he took his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father, the seat of authority. So all authority had been given to Jesus, unto Jesus, this resurrected Jesus. So that is where he is, and we await for him, that resurrected Jesus, the bodily Jesus, to come back.
Yes.
And when he comes back, he's going to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. But in the meantime, as we await for him, we have to realize that our citizenship lies elsewhere.
Yes.
Now, most of us have passports, and our passport will indicate an earthly citizenship. My citizenship is here in the United States of America, as is yours.
Yes.
There are some of our listeners listening right now that have Canadian passports or British passports or French passports. That's their earthly citizenship. But that's just temporary. There's going to come a time where that citizenship ends. But this citizenship that we have from heaven is eternal. It lasts forever. And so what he's saying to us is that our minds need to be set on that citizenship, and that we actually in our lives today need to represent this heavenly citizenship here in this world today.
Yes.
Those folks who have their God as their belly, their glory and their shame, and their mind set on earthly things, they need to see something different.
Yeah.
They need to see that there's a better life. They need to see that there is an eternal life that is found through faith in Jesus Christ. We have that opportunity as citizens of heaven to represent this heavenly country here in this world today. Mm-hmm. And that is a powerful purpose. Just imagine waking up every single day with this thought in mind that I get to represent the kingdom of heaven here on earth. When people look at me, they can see something different. And it's not because I'm this neat, wonderful guy. It's because the King of Heaven has taken up residence in me.
Yeah.
And so his life being expressed through me out into this world is something different. And that's what we have the opportunity to do, the privilege to do each and every day, is to represent the citizenship that we have in heaven here on earth. I call that purpose. How about you, Richard?
That's a good purpose right there.
Yes, it is. Doesn't get any better than that, folks, to be able to present yourself each and every day to the living Christ, to live his life in and through you. And boy, that will impact this world like nothing else. We can try to persuade people to a certain belief system, but there's nothing that is more persuasive than somebody encountering Jesus Christ himself. He is the dynamic personality. He is that one solid, that one singletary life that changes everything.
Yes.
So if we can give a vision of who he is, that's going to make an impact in this world.
Yeah, it is.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Richard Pfeiffer. Richard, glad to have you back from vacation last week.
Nice to be back.
I don't know if you want to be back. You said you had such a great time. And
yes, I did. I got the rest that I've been needing for the last 3 or 4 months. And
yeah.
I had some physical stuff going on, so I couldn't swim. I was sitting on the beach and couldn't swim. But that meant I could sit there in the shade and read a good book and walk around and enjoy everything I could see. And my wife and I just had a wonderful time. It was great to be there.
So glad that you got that opportunity. Glad to have you back. As I said, this is Basic Gospel. A programming note, tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock Central Time, I will be a guest on a wonderful radio program, To Every Man an Answer. Mm-hmm. So if you're familiar with that, if you're a listener to CSN Radio, you probably are a listener of that particular program. Well, I'll be a guest on that program tomorrow night. I'll help answer questions that come in. So I'm really looking forward to that opportunity.
Yeah.
Again, that's tomorrow afternoon, To Every Man an Answer, 5 o'clock Central Time. So just check your listings in the time zone that you live in.
Yes.
And join us. We would love to have you. And if you have a question, be sure and call on that broadcast. We want to thank everybody that contributed to Basic Gospel in the month of June. We had a fabulous response.
Yes.
One of our best months we've had in a long, long time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're starting off this new fiscal year on a very positive note as well. So thank you for those who have contributed this month. let's keep this going. The momentum is going. Let's continue to grow this thing and reach out to more and more people with the love of Jesus Christ. You can make a contribution. And by the way, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We rely on the contributions of our listeners to spread the good word concerning Jesus. So come and partner with us. Come alongside what God is doing in and through Basic Gospel Nation. You can do that by going to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button and follow all the instructions there. Or you can call 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Billy is waiting to take your call. She is just a delightful person to talk with, and you will love talking with her. And so call her, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful resource for you to say thank you this month for your gift to help keep this good word going out. It is a CD series called Be a Voice. I have encountered believers all over this country who have understood the grace of God, have understood their salvation in Christ, and they're at rest in the finished work of Jesus. So just as Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, we're seated in the heavenly places with him. His work is finished. Our work is finished. There's nothing more to do as far as our righteousness, our right standing before God. We've been declared righteous. So they're resting in Jesus. And so that aspect of faith is secure. It's solidified. They understand who they are in Christ, yet they sense this restlessness. They're at rest, but there's a restlessness. Why? Because the resurrected Christ wants to live his life through them.
Yes.
So there's this pounding in their heart of Jesus Christ himself saying, hey, let's go and make this love of God known to people in your sphere of influence.
Yeah.
Well, this particular CD series, Be a Voice, really addresses that restlessness. It shows you how you can open the floodgates and let this river of life flow out of you into the lives of others. So we want to put that in your hands. It's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. As you make your contribution online at basicgospel.net, be sure and request your copy of Be a Voice. If you call 844-322-2742 and talk with Billy, be sure and request this CD series as well. We did this as a conference a number of years ago. It really was a catalyst in a lot of lives that particular week. And those folks are actually saying, Lord, use me.
Yes.
And it is just the most wonderful thing to see. So if that's something that you want, you need a catalyst, you need a spark to let that river of life flow through you, request this CD series, Be a Voice.
We've got a nice email question here, and I want to set it up. If this is the first time you've ever heard us, or maybe you've only heard us a very few times, when you heard Bob's introductory remarks and this our citizenship is in heaven idea, when you hear him say that, and now we get to represent who Jesus is, if you don't know what that means, you probably have some discomfort. Oh my goodness, is this just another radio program telling me I'd better do more, be more, try harder, etc.? This question relates to that, and it comes from last week's broadcast. It's from Laban. Yesterday, you mentioned passages in Ephesians. A few months ago, I noticed the statement in Hebrews that Jesus is seated with the Father, which we're told illustrates that his work is finished. But in Ephesians 2:6, the audacious statement is made that God has seated us with Jesus in the heavenly places with him. Could that mean that our work is finished as well? It must mean something, right? I mean, looking at the verbs used all through chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Ephesians, it is all about what God has done or is doing. Only four times are any verbs applied to us. In chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says that in the past we walked following the course of the world. The only other places the verbs apply to us are in 1:13, when we hear the gospel and believe in him, and again in 2:8, where it says that we have been saved by faith. Then in that beautiful 10th verse, we are told to walk in the works that he has prepared for us. Not much for us to take credit for, is there?
No, it's a gift. This life that
Completely.
We have is a gift from start to finish. And if we realize that, that makes this life of faith really pop, come to
yes.
life for us. It becomes clear in our understanding as far as what faith really is. So it is by grace through faith in Jesus from start to finish, and this is a gift of God, this whole life. So when we receive Jesus, we receive Jesus Christ himself. He is God's gift to you and me. So Christ comes to live inside of us through the Holy Spirit. So we receive Jesus. Jesus, in essence, gives us the Holy Spirit. That's a gift. And then the Holy Spirit gifts us with certain spiritual gifts that we simply exercise as we're trusting Jesus to live his life through us. So if I have the gift of encouragement or the gift of teaching, and I'm exercising that gift,
yes.
I'm doing so because of the Spirit of God living in me. So this is all a gift from start to finish. So God is always the initiator. We're always the receiver, the responder. Mm-hmm. And once we get that really in order, everything just falls into place for us. So God initiates, we respond, and that response is a response to his initiation. So that response, in essence, is a gift as well.
Yes.
So we need to recognize that.
Yes.
So I think he's got a great point, and he's on to something.
He really
is. I think he's on to something pretty special. Here's what the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 4, verse 10. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So this first aspect of faith is an element of rest. So most of us have tried with everything in our power to get God to turn around, to turn his eyes toward us so that we could be in his good favor, so that we could be in right standing. And so we've chosen human effort, good works, as the method of making that happen. Well, none of those work. We fall flat on our faces. The harder we try to draw close to God through human effort, the further away he seems. When we rest from that, because Christ has finished his work in death, burial, and resurrection, then we draw near.
Yeah.
We only draw near through faith. So we rest, we enter that when we realize that Christ has done it all, and that we don't have to do anything. As
yeah.
far as forgiveness of sins is concerned, the shed blood of Jesus was enough. As far as being declared righteous in the sight of God, the shed blood of Jesus coupled with the resurrection of Jesus is enough.
Yes.
As far as our citizenship in heaven is, as far as our new identity, the death, burial, and resurrection was sufficient. There's nothing more that we can add. We only receive that as a gift. And when we receive it, we rest. That's good news.
That sure is. And it gives you a bit stronger insight into the body metaphor. When Paul tells us we are the body of Christ, when you realize that Jesus has done everything and everything has been given to us and that he's not here, and yet he said, it's good for you that I go away. What he has done is create little pictures of himself, not versions of himself, but pictures of himself in all of his children, all of us who believe in him and who have rested in him, so that he can be who he needs to be to someone in my sphere of influence and in your sphere of influence. It's just that easy. I get to be his hands and feet and his mouth and his eyes and his ears in those little places where he puts me at whatever time of the day it happens to be. I don't have to sweat it out. I don't have to figure out what it means. I just have to walk by faith and allow him to do that.
Absolutely, and that's his choice, isn't it?
Yes.
That's his choice to work through us. He didn't have to do that. He chooses
yes.
to do that. And boy, what a privilege that is.
Yes.
Yeah, so Laban, thank you for that great question.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
A question from Sarah, who wrote in through Facebook. Just clarifying forgiveness and repentance in the new covenant. I have a question about God's forgiveness. I understand that we don't need to keep confessing once we've accepted Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So if we don't need to ask for forgiveness, why did Jesus include "forgive us our debts as we forgive others" in the Lord's Prayer?
Well, it's interesting there in the Lord's Prayer, the phrasing of that, "forgive us our debts as we forgive others." Mm-hmm. So the contingency isn't on asking, it's on forgiving others.
Yes.
So Jesus was saying, how are you doing in that arena? Are you forgiving others? And the answer to that is more than likely is no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm holding on to grudges.
Yes.
I'm being
why
I'm,
would I?
Yeah, I'm being angry at those people that have uh-huh. offended me. I want to get even. I want to get back. I want to make sure justice is served. And so Jesus, as he was doing in the entire Sermon on the Mount, was trying to get to the heart of matters.
Yes.
You know, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, they were very hypocritical. They were clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. And so Jesus was trying to show them that reality. And he wasn't trying to do that to offend them. He wasn't trying to do that to make them mad. He was trying to do that, or he was doing that in order for them to look to Jesus as the source of salvation, not to rules and regulations, not to their human effort, not to their religious practices, but to Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because only Jesus can speak directly to the heart. Only Jesus can change the heart. And so once a person comes to Christ, everything changes, and even the command. So in the Lord's Prayer, it was forgive. Forgive me, Lord, as I forgive others. Now, in Ephesians 4:32, for example, in Colossians chapter 3, it tells us to forgive others as God in Christ has, past tense, forgiven us. So what is the motivation for forgiving others today? The fact that our sins have already been dealt with. Our sins have already been forgiven once and for all. And because that's true, and because God is not counting that person's sins against them, then we should be gracious and extend forgiveness in light of what Christ has already done. So what's the difference? Why the change? Well, the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's the difference. Old covenant to new covenant. At the cross, the old covenant ended, and the new covenant was ushered in. Mm-hmm. We live in this new covenant. The new covenant in which God says, I remember their sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there's no more sacrifice for sin. So that's the covenant that we live in today.
Yes.
So we are forgiven people in Christ. Our sins have been taken away once and for all. Now we have the opportunity and the great privilege. You know, as citizens of heaven, we're forgiven people.
Yes.
Well, let's show the world what that looks like. Mm-hmm. Let's extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. That's different than what we'll see out there in the
yes,
world. So what changed everything? The cross of Jesus Christ, the once for all sacrifice for sin. So now we're forgiven because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what brought about forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The blood has been shed. Our sins have been taken away once and for all. Let's gladly extend that forgiveness to others.
Yeah.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for joining us on today's broadcast. Richard, so good to have you back.
Nice to be back here.
Again, a reminder that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It is a CD series called Be a Voice. It really takes a look at the foundational truths of this gospel message and asks the question, if Christ died for all of my sins, so what? If Christ was raised and is now living in me, so what? How do I live that life out in day-to-day experience? This is a wonderful resource. We want you to have it. Go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, follow all the instructions there, and request your copy of Be a Voice. Well, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Greg Park, and the entire Basic Gospel team, We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.